This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Sawgrass Chevrolet Studios. Ed Morse is going to save you. Visit edmoresawgrass.com. This is South Florida High School Sports.com Radio on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM, 96.5 FM HD2, and streaming at WQAM.com.
And that is us back for hour number two up until 8 o'clock this evening. Glad you could be with us wherever you are listening. Hope that first hour kind of got you ready for hour number two. We thank so much Coach Jeff Scott from the University of South Florida, Coach Tim Neal from Miami Southridge, and Frank Tucker from Crib Media South Florida for kind of kicking off our show. Don't forget, all these interviews from this evening will be up on WQAM.com. They're already posted. The first three are already posted on WQAM.com. Just go to the top of the page where it says On Demand and hit that, and you'll see our icon, South Florida High School Sports icon. You can jump on there, listen to everything that we've done over the last year or more. There's a lot of stuff on there. We had some really good interviews. Don't forget, in the past couple of weeks, we've had Willie Taggart and also Coach Butch Davis from FIU. We had Teddy Bridgewater on. We don't mess. I'll tell you, we don't mess at all. University of Miami Sports Medicine Institute, now at the Lennar Foundation Medical Center in Coral Gables. Recover your game. Visit uhealthsportsmedicine.com, and we hope you do. There's anything that ails you, head over there, and you'll see all the services that they have available. In this hour, we're about 7:45 or so. We'll talk to Coach Don Chaney Sr., the new head coach from Miami Berlin Jesuit. His son is on campus at the University of Miami, running back, who is really good. Certainly, Matt Morrill from the Orange Bowl Showcase, which will come up this week. He's the chairman of that event. That's going to be good. It's going to be at St. Thomas University on Saturday. And that's for all the athletes who have qualified but have no place to go. And they've done this the last three, four years, and have gotten a lot. I mean, there's going to be 40, 45 colleges there represented, Division II, Division III, NAIA, obviously. St. Thomas University is one of the schools that will be out there. About, in 15 minutes or so, we'll talk to Nick Vadiato, who is a rising senior quarterback at university school, one of the guys that a lot of schools are looking at. But we kick off hour number two with somebody that we've followed all the way back since his youth days and into high school. Star at MacArthur High School, went to Florida State University, obviously spent some awesome years in the NFL with the Pittsburgh Steelers, and now is a big guy over at CBS Sports HQ. We welcome in Brian McFadden. Brian, thanks so much for taking the time, and congratulations on everything that's happened to you.
Thank you, Larry. It's an honor. You know, I've been knowing you, it seems like, my entire life. You know, you've done a tremendous job, and you're still doing a tremendous job, you know, covering, you know, football down in the South. And it's always a pleasure to get an opportunity to talk to you.
Now, we ran into you at the Super Bowl at the media day on Radio Row, and you're doing your gig with Brady Quinn and Pete Prisco and the gang. And talk about that and how you came about doing that, because I know you're always a student of the game. You're very articulate, a guy who had a little bit of an opinion on things like that. So how did that come about?
Well, it was something that I always kind of kept my hand involved, even when I was playing. In Pittsburgh with the Steelers, during those years, you know, we were very, very good. So opportunities were presented to me extremely, you know, fast. And I had a radio show and I had a little television show that I brought some of my teammates on. And, you know, just being involved in the game and being able to talk about the game is something I've always been mesmerized with. And when I finally came to the realization that potentially my career could be over, I wanted to find out, you know, what I could continue to do but also be passionate and love doing it. Mm-hmm. And talking the game of football, talking sports, being able to have that love, be involved, it doesn't feel like work. It feels like a part of your life. And I got an opportunity, and matter of fact, I volunteered my time at CBS down there in Miami with their station there, me, Stu Gotts, and some other individuals. We worked together on a Saturday show, and I just kind of continued to establish a reel and getting reps to be able to push to different networks. And eventually, years down the line, I got an opportunity with CBS.
And obviously, your playing career was a very successful playing career, whether it be at high school, I mean, at MacArthur, which, you know, obviously following in the footsteps of like an Eric Threat, and you had Erasmus James and guys like that. But then you went on to the next level, played for Bobby Bowden and, you know, and Mickey Andrews, and had an opportunity to play at Florida State, and then getting an opportunity to play with the Steelers, a program that's, you know, very classy organization, always has been. Talk about that. Talk about your playing career, and you seem to, I saw you walking, so you didn't seem to take that all that much toll on you.
Yeah, my playing career was basically a dream. For me, football was all I ever wanted to do. And, you know, South Florida, especially back then and currently now, football is a way of life. It's 24/7, especially now. And going to school there in Hollywood at MacArthur, I wanted to be able to, you know, leave my mark. And I remember what's funny is that when I was playing Little League football right off right at Washington Park,
right.
They're known as the Buccaneers currently right now.
Yes.
We were the Saints back then. Before I made my decision to go to MacArthur, I remember there were a lot of different people telling me I should go to this high school, I should go to that high school. You know, St. Thomas was trying to get me to come to their school, Chaminade, and they were all telling me that, you know, if you don't go to our school, it's going to be difficult for you to get a scholarship.
Yeah.
And I saw that as a challenge. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to go to MacArthur. I'm going to be a Mustang, and I'm going to show you it's not about the school you go to. It's about the individual, and I'm going to finish it out.
Wow.
And as you remember, Larry, we had some tough times early on at MacArthur. I mean, my sophomore year, I think we went 1-9.
Yes.
And instead of me, you know, picking up and running and going elsewhere, because I had an opportunity to transfer and go to any school I wanted to go to, because they felt like I was that good. I was like, nah, we're going to make this thing right. We're going to right our ship, and we were able to do so. And then years down the line, you know, we won districts and, you know, got into the playoffs, and the rest is history.
Yeah. And then you get an opportunity to go to FSU, and certainly a lot of knowledge there, a lot of good coaching, a lot of great players. You know, I remember you and Eric Moore were buds, and you had an opportunity to play. Talk about that experience.
Man, that was a good experience. You know, being a South Florida kid right there in Broward County, of course, Miami was high on my list. They were knocking down my door almost every day, every night. But it came, the final two was Miami and Florida State. And what made it easy for me, Larry, was at that time, Butch Davis was the head coach, and Miami started to become relevant all over again, you know, and that program was starting to ascend in the right direction. And I asked Butch Davis in my home for my home visit, if I sign with the Hurricanes, will you be my head coach my entire time there? And he said, yes, I will. I didn't believe him.
Yeah.
I didn't believe him at all. And then when it came down to Coach Bobbin, I felt like the only way Bobby wouldn't be the head coach at Florida State if they carried him out.
Yeah,
right?
That's true. You're right.
And think about this. Remember, Butch Davis was the head coach in 2000, which was my freshman year, and then eventually he left. That made it easy for me because I didn't believe him when he told me and told my parents, yes, B-Mac, I'll be the head coach there in Coral Gables your entire career. I didn't believe him. So I go to Florida State, and Florida State just won a national championship against Virginia Tech. They were very, very hot, you know, a powerhouse when it came to football. And being able to be coached by Mickey Andrews was huge for me. Of course, defensive football, quality defense. And I wanted to be a part of what he provided. I wanted to be a part of his success. And it was.
Yeah, hold on 1 second. Here, you want to put him on? You want to call him back? Okay, I think we lost him. We're going to call him right back. Wow. We're talking to Brian McFadden, who a lot of people know from South Florida. Now, if you watch every day, he's on CBS Sports HQ with Pete Prisco, Brady Quinn, and the gang. So we got an opportunity to see them over at the Super Bowl on Radio Row. And, yeah, we lost him. We're going to get him back in just a second. So, but certainly I remember him from his days. And go ahead, Brian. We're back.
Yep. Okay. Yes, sir.
Okay. Go ahead. Continue. You were talking about Mickey Andrews and FSU.
Yeah, so, you know, that was a big-time recruiting pitch for me, being able to be coached by Mickey Andrews, and he's a tough guy.
Yeah.
I mean, Coach Andrews would say some things to you in between the lines that you probably wouldn't hear any other place on the football field. Yeah. But he created a man, not just within myself, but along with my other teammates, and being able to have him coach me up very, very hard coaching way, his techniques, his method. He was a no-nonsense type of coach, and that prepared me for the next level. So, you know, Florida State was a great experience. I established a lot of relationships that I still have to this day, and being able to get an opportunity to play for a legend, you know, in Bobby, another legend in Mickey Andrews, and then being able to take my talents to the next level because of what they instilled in me in Tallahassee. Like I said, my entire playing career was a dream come true. You know, from little league days to the high school days to the collegiate days, and of course professionally, was all a dream come true.
And as we're speaking with Brian McFadden, and Brian, you take a look at the Steelers. I mean, this is a program that any little kid, you know, the Cowboys, the Steelers, a high-profile program, you know, NFL, a lot of pedigree, you know, the Terry Bradshaws, the Franco Harrises, all those guys like that. And here you're sitting in that secondary with some pretty impressive talent and some pretty impressive football players on both sides of the ball. Talk about that experience, because it was really, I mean, you were the star of stars on a really good football program.
No question. You know, quick story, like when I first got drafted by the Pittsburgh Steelers, I was mad. I was disappointed. Now, I was disappointed because most draft prospects will go through this, right? You don't usually get drafted where you think you should go. You should get drafted. That's when it comes to the positions. There's only maybe two guys that would be happy with where they go, and that would probably be the first overall selection or the second.
Yeah.
Everybody else feel like they should have gotten drafted higher.
Yeah.
So going into that draft that year, I thought I would potentially land somewhere late in the second round. I mean, in the first round. You know, that's what some of the people were telling me, talking to some teams and some execs, and then his due diligence. I felt like there's a good chance that I could in the first round. I didn't go in the first round. And then I go, you know, towards the back end in the second round. So then I was mad about that, not going where I thought I would go. And then I was mad about going to Pittsburgh. Now, I'm a South Florida kid.
Yeah.
Went to college in Tallahassee. It's a college town, entertaining, have a lot of fun. It's not extremely cold. And then I get drafted to Pittsburgh. So the first thing I thought about, I go to a city where most people would not just want to go visit just because.
That
was the first thing that had me kind of down. Then it's like, Pittsburgh is always cold. You know, South Florida is never cold. If we get 60 degrees in South Florida, you
we're
got on
freezing.
Your skull cap and your winter coats. Tallahassee doesn't get that cold. So I'm like, man, I was mad. And I remember my high school coach, he was at my house during my draft day, Coach Keith Franklin, who was my high school coach at McCarthy. And I remember he told me, he said, don't worry about how you feel it right now.
Yeah.
You just got drafted to a team that will almost be in the playoffs every year.
Sure.
And I heard him, but it didn't register because I was thinking about the here and now, not the long-term effect. So I go to Pittsburgh, and man, when I tell you, when people love football, you really see in Pittsburgh. When I go to Pittsburgh, you know, being a second-round selection, expectations were fairly high. And then my rookie year, you know, eventually, you know, we get things going, and then we ended up winning the Super Bowl. It was crazy. I mean, Pittsburgh, especially when the team is winning, is one of the more ideal places you can be when it comes to loving sports and the fans. They love sports. And then I remember after my rookie year, Larry, I thought I was supposed to go to Super Bowl every year. I didn't know.
Yeah.
it doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, so I felt like, okay, this is something we're supposed to do every year. And, of course, the second year, we didn't do it the third year. But then the fourth year, we right back again. So I was, you know, I was batting 50%. I was shooting 50%. In 4 years, I went to 2 Super Bowls and won 2 Super Bowls. So that was an unbelievable experience. And even to this day, I still got great relationships with people in Pittsburgh, the Steelers. They still show me love. Once you're a Steeler, you're always a Steeler.
Yep.
And good thing about my tenure there was I was a part of championship teams. I was a part of Hall of Fame-like individuals. Coach Cowher, he's going into the Hall of Fame this year. He's a guy who drafted me.
Troy Polamalu,
Yeah, he's going into the Hall. A guy that I played with, started with in the secondary. Eventually, a guy like Hines Ward potentially will get his opportunity to get into the Hall. The same could be said for Alan Faneca.
So I
played with a championship organization with Hall of Fame players and coaches. What more could I ask for?
Yeah, good stuff. Brian, I can't thank you enough for joining us this evening. Everybody, go watch him. You're very entertaining. We get a chance to see you. I know you and I and Pete Prisco talked a little bit about his days in high school football.
Hey, Larry, that's when you know your expertise at what you do, because you remember some of the things that Pete Prisco was talking about when it came to high school football.
That's crazy. Good stuff. Brian, thanks so much. We'll hook up with you soon again. Thanks again. And the best for you always, man.
Appreciate it, Larry. Go Noles.
Good stuff. Brian McFadden, awesome. We're going to take this time out. When we come back, we'll talk to Nick Vadiato, who hopes to be one day where Bryant was now.
Make sure you say, okay, Google, play 560 WQAM. You'll hear us loudly and clearly. Hey, Google, turn it up.
I'm on the pursuit.
Back with you on a South Florida High School Sports Show Tuesday evening. Larry Bluestein along with Manny Chang up until 8 o'clock. Thanks so much to Bryant McFadden from now is with CBA Sports HQ. But one time he was a MacArthur Mustang and played with the FSU Seminoles and certainly with the Pittsburgh Steelers winning 2 Super Bowls. The Centene South Florida High School Sports Show is cared for by University of Miami Sports Medicine Institute. Recover your game. Visit uhealthsportsmedicine.com. As we segue back into high school, certainly one of these players, especially our next guest, has an opportunity to do a lot of the same things that Brian McFadden does. One of the top quarterbacks, if not the top quarterback in the state of Florida, heading into his senior year from university school. Certainly like to welcome in Nick Vadiato. Nick, thanks so much for taking the time. Appreciate your joining us on Tuesday evening.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
This has been quite a football career for you, a stellar youth career, stepping into an opportunity from the time that you got to U school and playing quarterback and having some really good football programs last year, a really good team. Now you're in the off season playing 7-on-7 and getting a lot of interest from colleges. Kind of a dream come true for you?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, like, I think every kid in, you know, I mean, across the country, but mainly South Florida, who's played football, who's grown up playing football, has always dreamed of, you know, going to college and continuing, you know, that dream of just making it to the NFL one day. And, you know, I remember as a little kid watching college football, watching NFL football, just like knowing that's what I wanted to do one day. So it definitely becoming a dream come true.
Yeah, no doubt. I just got done talking to Brian McFadden, who I had an opportunity to watch when he was at MacArthur. And as he said, you know, he had a lot of opportunities to go to a lot of places. He went to Florida State only because he kind of didn't believe when Butch Davis told him he was going to be there for all 4 years. And he kind of knew Bobby Bowden would. And then he gets drafted by Pittsburgh and wasn't really happy. But then all of a sudden he learns to love the city, wins 2 Super Bowls in 4 years. Talk about something like that. I mean, here you basically your choices narrow after college. You get an opportunity to go to college, and then you play at the next level in the NFL. I'm sure somebody like yourself would, no matter if you were drafted by a team in Ireland, you'd go. I mean, just to have an opportunity. What's going through your mind now as you're getting ready to make a college decision? I mean, I know that colleges are offering you and giving you an opportunity, you know, to go to their school. What are the factors? Because I know you're an education guy, being at U school, having an opportunity to really get a great education. What are things that Nick Vadiato and your family are looking at now when colleges, you know, maybe give you a call?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the opportunity to play at the next level is, I mean, obviously a big thing, you know, having a great relationship with the coaches that are recruiting you as well, because I mean, that's at least like when you have a good relationship with a coach, I mean, relationships kind of trump everything else in a way, you know, at right. the end of the day, you know, you can trust that coach with anything, you know, also what opportunities other than football can that college provide for you? I think is a big thing too, because you know, I think every football player doesn't want to believe it, but like they know it won't last forever, and someday you kind of have to, you know, hang up the cleats and sure. pursue something else. So I think that's a big thing too.
Do you find yourself like over the last couple of years, because I remember when you first got there, I actually remember when you were in youth football and you were, you know, you're going to Sly and working on, you know, mechanics and technique and everything like that. And here you are on the cusp of making a huge decision, you know, as a young adult. Do you think that this thing's gone by too quickly?
I mean, I definitely think it's gone by a lot quicker, like looking back on it. Like I remember, like you said, like I remember when I was, I mean, 10 years old going to Coach Sly, and I still go out to him on the weekends, and I'm 17 now. I think I just look back and think how quick it went by. And, you know, I think it's the best thing to do is, you know, just take it day by day and soak it all in, because you really can only do it once. And I think that's the important part, that you take advantage of it yeah. and you use it the best way you can.
Yeah, no doubt. Nick Vadiato is going to be a senior, his class of 2021, University School in Fort Lauderdale, although I thought it was in Davie. Everybody keeps telling me it's in Fort Lauderdale. and you're right next to the Dolphins complex, which is in Davie, so I get confused by all that. But opportunity to play with some really good kids at U School, also some really good coaches. Talk about the experience. Obviously, you know, you, Brandon Ennis have become, you know, you kind of look at Brandon and you know, he's like forever a ninth grader. I mean, this kid is, I mean, he's like stuck in ninth grade. You get an opportunity with him. You've had you know, some really good players alongside of you in the coaching. Talk about Coach Luque and some of the other coaches who've been, you know, there for you and kind of helped you to elevate your game a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I've known Coach Luque since I was in sixth grade when he came to coach our FBU team. And so, like, you know, ever since then, we had a really good relationship, you know, and that was a big part of me going to U school, because I love what Coach Luque was about. I love what he was doing with the program over there. And, you know, now we're one of the better programs down here in South Florida, and I think that shows. And, you know, like every other coach, Coach CB, all of them, all the offensive coaches, all the defensive coaches even too, you know, they help with everything. And, you know, my teammates are great. You know, yeah. They're, I think, some of the best football players down in Florida, down here in South Florida. And, you know, it's just, it's really a privilege to play with guys that are so talented. So and that's what I love about it.
And also having an opportunity to be around guys who played in the NFL, like Coach Crowder and Coach Freeman, and also with Coach Chris Chambers, who obviously is really, really a very knowledgeable offensive guy. What do you learn from watching coaches like that? I mean, because obviously you're looking at Coach Crowder, and he's trying to stop you and think of ways to stop you. How much do you learn from the NFL guys like that?
I mean, I think, like, just their experience is a really big thing, because, you know, like, they've gone where every football player aspires to be, which is the NFL. So, like, they went through high school, college, NFL, and they've learned more than we have right now. So anything they can give you, and like anything any coach can give you, I think, is really important, because all it'll do is make you better.
Yeah, no doubt. Before we let you go, Nick, talk about you've been with the South Florida Express, 7-on-7 team, highly competitive, playing against some of the top programs in the country, and also having an opportunity on your own team to go against quality defensive backs while having offensive receivers that are at a different level. Talk about that experience.
It's been great. You know, I've been with SFE since I was in ninth grade, so you know it's my third year, and I mean, you, Coach Brett Getz, he's the best. I mean, he does everything for his kids, and you know, like you said, the competition is what's the best part about it. But also, like, we just have so much fun. Like, 7-on-7 is probably the most fun thing I think you can do with football, and you know, being on a team like SFE that really kind of set the groundwork for it way like a long time ago. You know, it's been a really fun ride. And, you know, being able to play with some of the best offensive guys from Florida, I think, is probably what I love most about it. And then being able to go against guys that, you know, will be playing in college and then probably a lot on Sundays is what I love about it.
Yeah, no doubt. And obviously the opportunity just to watch you guys play. I mean, and you go against some really elite players. I mean, back in the day, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, it wasn't like this. The Express were the deal, and the Fire had just started, and a couple of other programs. Now, you go to tournaments, and there's 5 to 10 teams that have kids that are going to be Power 5 football players. What do you look at that? And obviously the it's upgraded to the point where, I mean, you have no off days. I mean, there's no off games anymore. Everybody's coming at you because you're the South Florida Express. Talk about that, and you know, just the level of competition in the off season. I mean, because as it is, you're dodging bullets during the regular season, but now you have to do it during the off season as well.
Right. I mean, I think that's what all of us who play for SFE love about it, because, you know, they always say, like, to be the best, you got to beat the best. And, you know, I think that's what we really believe in. And it's, you know, it's really fun for us just to get to kind of travel around, you know, the U.S., going to places like, we're going to Houston in a couple weeks.
Nice.
And, you know, Cali and California and stuff like that. Like, just to play kids from, like, the best kids from other states, like, you know, that's probably the best thing about it, you know, because all these kids are built different where they're from, you know, Texas, California, Maryland, Louisiana, you know, places like that where football really thrives, I think, is what. And, you know, it's like the opportunity to beat those guys and be labeled the best is what we really want to do.
Awesome stuff. Nick Vadiato, he'll be a senior, class of 2021, one of the top quarterbacks in the state of Florida, has progressed in a huge way. Thanks a lot for taking the time on this Tuesday night. We'll catch up with you soon.
Yeah, thank you.
Good stuff. Nick Vadiato, I'll tell you what, if you hadn't had a chance to watch him, this kid, quick release, strong arm, very intelligent, reads the field extremely well. We're still waiting on Matt Morrill, who is the chairman of the Orange Bowl Showcase, which is coming up this Saturday at St. Thomas University. Great event. We're going to have something on the we've already had something on the South Florida High School Sports.com website. If you haven't been to our website, you need to get to it. You can go to WQAM and then come down to where it says SFHS Sports and click on that, and you'll take you through. What we do is put up 2 blogs a day, 10 a week. If there's something breaking on the weekend, as the Rocco Casullo was named the head coach at Cypress Bay, so we broke that over the weekend. But we always have things for you, and that's the one thing that's great. Our social media at either South Florida High School Sports, SFHS Sports, or Larry Bluestein. Just go to those. We have a lot of followers, a lot of information. We promote kids endlessly. So that's one of the things that we take a look at as well. So we're excited about that. We're excited about a lot of the things that we do here on a year-round basis. If you hadn't had an opportunity to to listen to us in the show this evening. Manny Chang has put up all the interviews that we've had. Coach Jeff Scott, who started things out from USF, the new head coach. We talked to Coach Tim Neal from Miami Southridge, who's the new head coach at Miami Southridge as well. Frank Tucker from Crib Media, all that's up for you. So we're excited about that as well. In this hour, if you miss Brian McFadden, great interview. As I have a sip of water here. Great interview with Brian McFadden, former MacArthur High, former Florida State University standout, and then won two Super Bowls with the Pittsburgh Steelers, and also as we were talking to Nick Vadiato. So we have an opportunity to kind of run the gamut a little bit of what we cover each week. This is what you'll be hearing throughout the summer. We have college coaches from all over the place. So we're excited about that as well. So we hope you stick with us. Check out our social media as well. As I told you, this Saturday, the Orange Bowl Showcase will take place over at St. Thomas University. And the chairman of this great event is kind enough to join us on this Tuesday evening, Matt Morrill. Matt, thanks so much for taking the time. Excited to be out there again on Saturday.
Larry, it's a great event. I appreciate the opportunity to talk about it. The Orange Bowl is very excited at St. Thomas University and to partner with St. Thomas University to put on an event where we have, 300-400 high school kids come out in front of 40 high school or 40 colleges, NAIA Division III and Division II coaches to come on out. Between 40 and 50 of them show up, and we run them through basically an NFL combine event. The night before that event, we have the coaches and the high school coaches get together so they can promote their kids and talk to the college coaches and say, you're looking for a quarterback. Here's a kid that has a grade point and does all the right things and would be an asset to your program.
Yeah. So how did this all come about? Because, I mean, we see these fairs that go on statewide and all these little, all the smaller colleges go to them. And, there's 20, 25 schools, here and there. I know they've had them in Jacksonville and West Palm and Lake Worth and Lake Wales and Fort Myers. What was the I know the Orange Bowl gets involved in so much. What was the, because I know that you have been around football all your life. What kind of was the factor that you guys got together and said, hey, we need to do a combine for these kids who busted their tail in the classroom, are qualified, have the test scores, and also got it done on the football field, but here we are in late February and they have no place to go?
Well, as part of this, the Orange Bowl is also active in the National Football Foundation and College Football Hall of Fame. And as part of that activity, we learned of a similar program in Texas. And we looked at South Florida and the state of Florida being a hotbed of recruiting. And what happens is people get overlooked. And we wanted to give kids an opportunity to go to college, to play a sport that they love, to use that to pay for and help them achieve something great with an education to be able to continue that education.
Right.
As you mentioned, one of the things that is important is you have to be eligible. So we like to have a 2.5 grade point, but they do make exceptions and they do work with people depending upon the kid and how they fit into the program. And so we had some relationships with college football through the Orange Bowl, through the National Football Foundation, and decided to leverage that relationship to try and do something for the kids here in South Florida.
Yeah.
One of the things that we do is, as I said, on the night before, we put the college coaches together. But for the parents of these high school students, while their kid is running a 40-yard dash or doing a bench press or doing a shuttle drill, or actually where the linemen are working together, work on their steps and their form and hit some dummies, and we have 7-on-7 like anything else in any other combine, the parents get an opportunity to sit down and understand the process, both for financial aid and for qualifying for a college scholarship or financial aid. And that is something that we thought was a much needed part of this program.
Yeah.
So while this is going on, we have the the parents meet with people from some of the colleges, the financial people that explain how this all works and how they can maybe get their kid to go to school.
Sure.
They did not have an opportunity to do that.
Yeah,
and that's what we think is important.
Yep, I agree with you. Matt Morrill joins us, chairman of the Orange Bowl Showcase, taking place this Saturday at St. Thomas University. First couple years over at Nova Southeastern. I know Dave Shula was the camp director, and you had a lot of the former Dolphins, our own Channing Crowder was there, and Nat Moore, who never ages, who was there last year along with Kim Bocamper, gave them, it was Kim's first trip back to St. Thomas / Biscayne College since he used to work there with Coach Shula and the day, and it's amazing. And this year you guys got Brady Quinn and also Jonathan Vilma's coming, which is great for the kids because they get a chance to learn from guys who've been there, done that as well. Talk about that, because I think that's very important as well.
Well, as part of this, there's an opportunity for the kids not only to showcase their talents, but also understand a little bit about their stories. We have guys that have been out here, like a guy by the name of Henry Crockett, who was
right.
the number one recruit in the nation.
Yes.
And he talked about how he thought he was all that, but didn't play right away because he didn't work hard enough. And then you have a guy like John Offerdahl, who was preferred walk-on at Western Michigan,
yeah.
and was somebody that worked his tail off and became somebody that, played professional football.
Yes.
One of the kids, and we've done this for a period of time, and we've given out well over $3 million worth of scholarships.
Wow.
As part of this program. And we had 68 kids last year get financial aid from coming out for this. So it's roughly 15-20% of the kids that come out have an opportunity to go to school that they may not have had. And it opens up their eyes in a way to understand about different places they can go play. Some kids get some narrow focus. One of my favorite stories about Kim Bocamper was he ended up at San Jose State, but he went to Minnesota the first time.
Yes.
And decided that wasn't really for him, but he got to experience and learned how to, live in the North and it helped focus him on what he wanted to do.
Yeah, no doubt. And he also got snubbed by Pete Carroll at Pacific, he told me.
He did. He will tell you that story. So that they decided to give a scholarship to somebody else, and he wore Pacific out every time they played him.
Good to hear. I appreciate you taking the time, Matt, and this is a great event. I sing the praises all the time as somebody who does this 365 days a year like myself to try to, promote the kids and get them in a position where college coaches, I think you guys have taken the ball and run with it in a positive way. I'm looking forward to Saturday. We'll be out there. I hope the kids will, understand that this is a tremendous event, something that's putting them in front of the college coaches in no way that they could ever imagine.
And it is a great event. And we had a kid, and one quick story, we had a kid that showed up, had nobody interested in him, said NAIA receiving records his first year.
Awesome.
And at an NAIA school, and actually decided to transfer out and go up to a much bigger program after that, after he proved himself.
That's
and
awesome.
There's opportunities to do that as part of this program.
Good stuff.
I mean, it is, football's a funny game, and if you're given an opportunity and work hard, opportunities present themselves. And I'd like to ask everybody, look forward to seeing everybody. I'll be working with the linemen. We have a bunch of college players like myself and some of the other people that are out there helping too, that play at Florida State, Miami, just want to be part of this, continue to be part of this, because we think it's great for the kids.
I agree.
It's great for South Florida.
Good stuff. Matt, we'll see you on Saturday. Again, thanks so much for taking the time for us this evening.
Thank you, Larry. Appreciate it.
Good stuff. Matt Morrill, chairman of the Orange Bowl Showcase. When we come back, we wrap things up for a Tuesday evening. Coach Don Chaney Sr. from Miami Berlin Jesuit is next.
Listen to 560 The Joe, WQAM, on your laptop, desktop, iPad, phone, anywhere. Go to WQAM.com, click the listen button, and there we are. Who thinks of this stuff?
Back to wrap things up on a Tuesday evening, South Florida High School Sports, Larry Bluestein, along with Manny Chang. Thanks so much to Matt Morrill, the chairman of the Orange Bowl Showcase this Saturday. You got to check that thing out. Certainly, as we segue into another coach that is will be taking over, although he's been around the program for a number of years, coached his son, who's at the University of Miami, Don Chaney Jr., who's the new head coach at Miami Berlin Jesuit, is kind enough to join us on Tuesday. Coach, thanks so much for taking the time. Congratulations on the position. And certainly we've seen you coach at this high school level for a while, and never gets old, does it?
No, not at all, Larry. It's a great opportunity.
You know, as a proud father, as you are, and I know that your son did some amazing things, now he moves on, you're there, and you have to kind of rebuild this program and, you know, kind of put your own stamp on it. You know, you've been an assistant coach there for a number of years now, and we've seen you in the past, and we know that you're a stickler for a lot of hard work. You're a weight room guy. You're somebody who won't tolerate anything less than 100%. Talk about that, and I know you haven't mellowed because you're still I know you embrace this position in a big way. Talk about that, and talk about the position, and what's ahead for the Wolverines.
Well, definitely, hard work is a part of our forte, and anytime you step into any arena, any building, any sport, you want to have that mindset that you want to work hard, you want to compete, and you want things to kind of flow that way to build. So that's one of the things that that's the starting gate for us. You know, it creates some good opportunities, some dedication, a lot of hard work, and discipline within the hard work.
The one thing that you have in place and that a lot of schools don't is you have a middle school program, you have a junior varsity, a freshman team. Obviously, that's really got to be a plus because by the time they reach the varsity level, they know everything that you guys are running. The kids are ready from that standpoint. Talk about that because I think that's really a plus for any program that is in a position to do that.
Well, absolutely. And we're going to put a little twist to it, but you forgot one team. We also have a sixth grade team, which is separate from the middle school team. So I kind of get the babies and build them up. But I'm going to let, you know, kind of the sixth grade and middle school kind of enjoy themselves and have a little fun. And JV will take another turn and twist. So it'll get a little tougher as we go. But I definitely want the kids to always be involved, the alumni, the parents, family arena. You know, I want everybody to be involved and have a good time and help us bless this program to the next stage.
And the one thing that you've learned, especially being at Berlin Jesuit, I mean, obviously this is not the typical high school. Obviously, there's a lot of emphasis on the academics, you know, on faith. Certainly is something that, you know, takes precedence over a lot. But the athletic programs in all of the arenas, basketball, the track program, the baseball program has always done extremely well. Talk about that because I think that's important to know that you teach these kids to create a balance. And there's a lot of schools that don't do that. And you know as well as I do there, I mean, it's an all-athletic deal. I mean, academics are important to them to the most part, but at your school, the academics is paramount, so obviously it creates quite a balance in every student athlete.
Well, typically, I mean, Carlos Barkeem and Rich Stewart, they head our athletic program and they do a phenomenal job, and we keep the base up. I mean, I wouldn't have it any other way. I truly believe in the academic component, the student athlete component. I think it makes everything a lot more easier. And it's very competitive in the classroom. I mean, for the last couple of years, we've been the state champs in football academically.
Nice.
And hopefully we can get an opportunity to somewhere down the road get both of those trophies.
Don Chaney Jr., our senior, is our guest, and I was going to talk to about your son and what he benefited. And you watched him over a 4 or 5 year period grow from a kid into a young man. Talk about that, because I know you and your wife take great pride in the fact that, you know, he's a great athlete and he's a tremendous young man, but he has grown up right before your very eyes. Cause I remember when he was in the eighth grade and, he was a little boy, but over the last couple of years, he's grown into quite a young man. Talk about that from a parental standpoint.
Well, me and my wife, we're competitive from that standpoint, and we push him very hard in the classroom because, you know, when you think about being a student athlete and you think about a guy that's very talented, whether it be on the track or the football field or any other sport, to make it to the collegiate level, the first thing you have to do is be good in the classroom, because if you're not good in the classroom, you're going to struggle and you won't have success early if you're not competitive in the classroom and making it happen in the classroom. So you have to be dedicated to the classroom. The football stuff it comes easy. The athletic stuff comes easy. If you're talented and you're good at it and you got good work ethic, that'll come easy. But if you can balance the both, then you got something special at that point.
Right. And the parental and student body support at the school is amazing. I've been to so many events there. Talk about that, because I think that's an outstanding thing to have when you were playing in the afternoon. The place would be packed. The students were really involved. And the parents were there.
Well, that's the best part of Berlin Jesuit. I mean, the family-oriented atmosphere is huge. I mean, it's huge, and the fans, the alumni are so supportive. They're so involved, and they make everything a little more easy for anyone there, whether it be the basketball coach, football coach, anybody. It's right now, there's a baseball game going on. I bet it's jam-packed.
Yeah, I'm sure there is. Coach, again, thanks so much. Congratulations on being the head coach. We'll get out and see you during the spring. We're looking forward to it. Again, thanks so much for all the success that your family has enjoyed. I wish you and your son nothing but the best.
Absolutely, and thank you for having me.
Good stuff. And that will wrap up. What a great show, Manny Chang. Thanks so much for what we did. Everything is up on WQAM.com. Go to On Demand. Go to South Florida High School Sports. We are back with you next week. Have a good week.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.